Again, it's so good to see each of you this morning. We're thankful for the privilege that we have to be in God's house. Would ask you if you would please turn with me to the book of the Psalms, Psalm 18. Psalm 18. In this particular psalm, it's one where that David expresses his need for the Lord and his need for God's blessings and also his need for him to express worship unto the Lord. And as he is expressing worship throughout this psalm, and I'm not going to read the entire psalm this morning, but there's so many things that are contained in here of his relationship with God and that daily walk that he has with him and the blessings that he has. And there's just one particular instance of it that I really want to focus on. It'll take me just a few minutes to get there. That's not unusual though, is it? It'll take me a few minutes to get there, but there's one thing I want us to focus on, and that is the thought of that I used in the scripture from Habakkuk, and that is the Lord makes our feet to be as hinds' feet. As hinds' feet. And there's a very special lesson in that for me, and I trust for everyone this morning. Psalm 18, I want to begin by reading the first three verses. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer again, please? Heavenly Father, we realize that it's an impossibility to pray too much. This is your house, and you've designated your house to be the house of prayer. So, Father, we come to you now, humbling ourselves as we've opened our Bibles and read from your word, asking, Lord, that you would bless your word into our hearts. Bless us, Lord, to receive it in such a way as to receive your grace and your strength for our everyday life, to understand our relationship with you, and that it might grow stronger, and that we might mature in our walk with you, Lord, and to just be reminded of who you are and the blessings that you have for us daily as we go through this life. Lord, I ask for grace that I might be able to express the thoughts that you've put on my heart, the thoughts that I've been made to rejoice in even this week. May I present them in such a way, Lord, that it would be received with joy and at the same time received as encouragement and received as a promise from you. But also, Lord, may we renew our commitment to you. Blessed Father, we ask your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. Through the years, I've kind of come to the point that through the week, whenever I'm trying to study for the message and I find myself just really, really getting caught up with it, sometimes I get so caught up with it that sometimes it seems like I get it preached out before Sunday comes. And so my prayer is that I haven't done that this week. I've tried to go back to these passages on a few different occasions, and I pray that I'll be able to share with you the thoughts that the Lord put on my heart this morning concerning this 18th Psalm. This was written according to the little notation at the top of my Bible, at the top of that particular psalm. It was written, it says, when David was delivered from the hand of Saul and all of his enemies. It was delivered at a time when the Lord made himself so real to David, and David knew without a shadow of a doubt that God's hand was on him and had brought him out of a difficult time, a difficult situation that David in and of himself couldn't see his way out of it. So when he realized what the Lord has done for him and brought him out, he sits down and begins to write. And the Psalms were songs that were sung as well. So in my mind this week, I'm wondering what What was the tune that he put these words to? It must have been beautiful. I'll never know, but it must have been beautiful because the words are beautiful. And as I began to read these words, especially the first three verses and then down to where we're going, I began to realize that in my life I need to come to a place, I need to be reminded of a place where I should be, that I'm constantly having that conversation with God. And you know, usually when we have a conversation with God, when we pray, we begin hopefully like we're supposed to, you know, how wonderful and great God is. And then all of a sudden we go into this of our needs. This is what I need. This is what I want. This is what I'd like for you to do. And sometimes we even insert in there, this is how it can be done. I've already got it worked out. Would you just do these things? But as David began to pour out his heart unto God, the first words that come out of his mouth was, I will love thee, O Lord. I will love thee, O Lord. I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm not pointing it in any way, but just other than just to get us think. When was the last time that we verbally said, I love you, Lord? When was the last time that we included in our prayers the fact that we love the Lord God Almighty? When was the last time that we said those words or even thought them in our hearts as we're praying, I love you, Lord? And David, I believe, as he was overwhelmed by the presence of God, the strength of God that had been manifested in delivering him, it was almost as if he was just reminded, I haven't spent as much time as I should have in the past in expressing my love for you, Lord. So I'm going to love you. That's a commitment that is made. Have we made that commitment in our hearts and in our minds, in our prayers, in our daily life, that we're going to love God? You know, and that might sound like it's just a question that doesn't really need to be asked. Or should it? Is it one that really should be asked? How do I see my relationship with God? How do I view my relationship with God? Is He somebody that's there when I need Him? You know, we sing that song, just when I need Him, Jesus is there. And that's a wonderful truth, isn't it? But you know, He's also there even when we think we don't need Him. He's still there even when we think that we're on top of the world. When we think we've got everything going in the right way, He's still there. And He deserves our love. He deserves our saying to Him, I will love Thee, O Lord. As, again, David's been delivered from the hands of his enemies and from the hand of Saul is what it says. Now, I personally do not think that David saw Saul as an enemy. Saul saw David as an enemy. Saul tried to kill him. But I don't think that David saw necessarily Saul as being an enemy as we would think of an enemy being in our lives. He was an obstacle. He was something that David had to get through, around, over, under, whatever, to get beyond him, to get to where the Lord had said he was going to be. But if you remember, David referred to Saul as the Lord's anointed. There was on two occasions that David was hid in a cave, and Saul came to that cave and spent the night. David in the back part, Saul and his army at the front. David could have killed Saul on two different occasions. And both times he said, no, that's the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to put my hand on the Lord's anointed. There was one time that he cut the hem of his robe off, just to show Saul how close that he was and how easily he could have taken his life, but he didn't. But there was that coming against him. There was a result of Saul's jealousy. And purely and simply, that's all it was. Saul was jealous because David killed Goliath. And the people were singing, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. And Saul became angry as a result of that. But all that being done, David is now at a point where he's relieved. And he's able to just stop and take a breath and look back at what's been going on in his life. And he says, I love God. I love Him. I know you all have experienced this, but I'm just going to say it from my heart, the way that I feel. When I come to that point where that from the very depth of my heart in my prayer that I say, Lord, I love You. There's something that takes over inside of me. There's a peace that comes on me. There's a strength that comes on me. There is a feeling as though it is a washing out of the things that I've allowed to accumulate in my life. When I say, I love You, Lord. You see, you can't love God and love the world at the same time. And so when you're expressing that love from the heart, I love Jesus. I love my God. There is that cleansing. There is that peace. There's that strength that takes place in our lives. And I believe at this moment, David experienced that. I will love You, Lord. I love You. I love You. I love You, Lord. I thank You. I praise You. I honor You. And as we begin to worship Him, the world takes on a different viewpoint in our way of looking. We begin to see God for who He is. David says, I love You, Lord, because You're my strength. You are my rock. You're the stability of my life. You're my fortress. You're that which is surrounding me, keeping the enemy out. You're my deliverer. You're my God. You're my strength. And he really, it's almost as though he's saying it over again. But he's already said, you're my strength. Now he's saying again, you're my strength. But there's two different, again, I go back to a couple of weeks ago when I said the English language is so deficient. When you look up the meaning of that, the first strength in verse 1, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. He's saying, you are my inner strength. You're that strength that is within me. You're that strength that enables me to make right decisions. You're that strength within me that enables me to see the things that I need to be seeing in the proper way of seeing it. You are that strength that gives me determination to continue on. This strength, the second one in verse 2, is an outer strength. It's like standing on the side of a cliff. And I'm going to refer to that again in a moment. It's like standing on the side of a cliff, but you know you're on firm ground. You know that you can see out and you can see all the things that are going on. But you're on firm ground. You have the strength of that rock that you're standing on. I won't mention him by name. He probably won't hear it, but years ago, I was preaching a meeting up at Mountain View Church in North Alabama, and Elder Ron Yackel was the pastor, and he took me into this place, and it's just as flat as can be, and all of a sudden, you literally go down in a hole. And then, when we were in that hole, he took me to a different place, and there was on the side of it was this rock, and it was way down there to the bottom. I'm afraid of heights. And Brother Ron went over there and he started goofing off and acting like he was going to fall off. And I said, buddy, you're on your own. I'm not coming out there where you are. I'm staying right here on this solid rock. If you fall, I'll call for help. But I'm not coming over there where you're at. You're on shaky ground. I'm not. That's what David was saying. In Christ Jesus, in the Lord, you're not on shaky ground. You're on that solid rock. He's our strength that we stand on. He's that strength that's inside of us that enables us to look beyond things that our eyes would see and our mind would misconceive and yet be able to see it as it truly is, as God gives us the light and the strength and the blessings to be able to do that. And then he says, in whom I will trust. My buckler. We don't use that word anymore, do we? I did when I was growing up because I used to watch the Three Musketeers. Remember, they were bucklers, swashbucklers. They would pull their sword out and they would fight for those that were weak. They would fight for the underdogs. They would go in and they would take care. Jesus Christ is my buckler. You remember when God brought the people of Israel to the Red Sea, when He brought them out of Egypt and He brought them there? There was no way for them to turn. And Moses said, fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of God. The battle is not yours because you have a buckler. You have a swashbuckler. You have one who is a defender who will come and take up the fight. The Lord will fight for you. This day you're going to see the strength of the Lord. And then the sea parted and they came across on dry ground. You see, He's our buckler. He's the horn of my salvation. You can take hold of that and know that you find strength in Him. He's my high tower. This past week, if you're on low ground, you know what it means to be underwater to some degree. With all the rain that we've had, you fled the high ground. A lot of people, I'm sure, have fled the high ground. In Peachtree Creek in Atlanta, they fled the high ground because it floods every time. But Jesus Christ is that high tower that we can flee to, that we can go into and know it. Now, David is saying all that. But mixed into all of those things, we love when God says, I will, don't we? When God says, I will deliver, I will save, I will bring you out. We love those things when God says, I will. But throughout these verses, David has said, I will. A determination, a commitment that he's made. I will love you. I will trust you. Do we trust God this morning? Do we trust Him in those things that would cause us to panic? In those things that we think that we got to make our own decision? Do we trust God making those decisions for us? And if we trust Him, then there also is in that relationship an interaction, a dialogue that's made between us and God. I pray, but I listen. I tend to panic. I told Judy last night I had a panic attack when I laid down last night. And I kept trying to say, Lord, it's in your hands. I know it is. And you'll take care of it. But we have that sense within us. Something has to be done. It has to be done right away. I mean, I was at the point I was almost ready last night to get up, get in the car and drive to Statesboro and take care of what was on my mind. It was that real. Until you come to that place that you say, Lord, I can't control this. But you can. So I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust your wisdom. I'm going to trust your grace. I'm going to trust your strength. I'm going to trust your mercy. I'm going to trust your ability. I'm going to trust your love for me. And I'm going to love you and I'm going to trust you. I will trust Him, He said. And I will call upon Him. I'll call upon His name. I won't be hesitant. There won't be anything that's too trivial for me to call upon God, nor will there be anything too hard for me to call upon God. I've heard people throughout my ministry say, I don't want to bother God with that. Can I tell you, that attitude bothers God more than you going to Him with the little tiny things that you think you ought to be able to handle that just aren't coming together? I've used this example so many times that if I've used it here, forgive me for me to just chalk it up to my memory. But when I worked at the funeral home, there was the matter of a VCR. And I could not get it to work with a DVD. I could not get it to work. I pushed every button that there was. I turned every button. And it was one of those videos that they play for the family. It was very important that it come on. And it was my responsibility. I couldn't get it to work. I had a friend tell me, have you asked God's help? I'm the preacher. I'm supposed to know that, right? But it slipped my mind. I mean, is God an electrician? Does God know about electronics? Yeah, He does. So I stopped. And I said, Lord, I need help with this. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm supposed to be turning that on for the family to see it. I walked back in there. I pushed what I thought was the same buttons I had been pushing. And all of a sudden, it came on. Can I tell you this morning, you can trust God no matter what it is that's going on in your life. You can trust Him to watch you over you and to see you through it and to point the way and show you exactly what buttons need to be pushed and what buttons need to be hands off. Because there are things in life that we just need to keep hands off. And God will take care of it. Another song we sing, God will take care of you. We believe that, don't we? And David says, I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. I don't know what I'm doing, Lord, but I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to call upon your name. When it becomes so very obvious that I'm just floundering, I'm going to call on you. I'm going to ask you, Lord, for your help. I'm going to ask you for your wisdom. I'm going to ask for your guidance. I'm going to ask you to just simply take my hand. I love that old song. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I am worn. Lead me on through the night. Lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me on. I'm going to call on you, Lord. I'm going to trust you because I love you. And I know when I do those things, in verse 3 he says, I'm going to call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved, or I shall be delivered from mine enemies. I will be delivered. Can I tell you, I need his deliverance every day. That isn't talking about, if I call on you, you'll take me to heaven. That's saying, if I call on you, you'll get me through this struggle. You'll get me through this trial. You'll get me through this temptation. You'll get me through this thing that's just weighing heavy on me that I can't make any progress on. I'm going to love you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to call on you. And I know you're going to bring me through. Lord, I have that confidence in you. And that's a commitment. And can I tell you, I have to remind myself every day of that. That's not a one-time commitment and it's got it the rest of my life. It's a lesson that I have to learn over and over and over and over. Do you? Do you have to learn that lesson over and again? I do. I have to be reminded of it. And sometimes it seems that God just allows something to be put in my path so that I'll be reminded once again. Oh yeah, Lord, I do love you. And I do trust you. And I'm going to call upon you and you're going to help me. I know you are. Then we come down to verse 28. For thou wilt light my candle. Have you ever thought about that? You, Lord, are going to light my candle. Have you ever tried to walk in the darkness? When we were at Middle Ground Church, once a month we'd have family night. And as happened so many times, the preacher was the last one to leave. I don't know how that always works, but the preacher was the last one to leave. And the meal was in the back. But the only way to really lock all the doors, you had to go from the back to the front. And I'd always forget to turn the lights on in the sanctuary. And so whenever I would turn the light off in the dining hall and try to walk through the sanctuary, I probably still have bumps and bruises on my shins from hitting the front pew. You can't see when you're in the darkness. You just can't see. But God will light the candle. He lights the candle from within, that we have that light within us, and that light shines in the face of Christ Jesus our Lord, our deliverer, our buckler, our strength, our rock, our high tower, our everything that we need. But it also lights the path. Seek out the old paths, walk therein, you'll find peace to your soul. God illuminates that path so we can walk on it. Thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee, through your strength, through your power, I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is our word again. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Now that way, that word perfect doesn't mean that every step we make is still going to be the perfect, the correct. We're still going to make mistakes, right? If you reach perfection, would you tell me how to get there? Because I've not got there yet. I still make wrong turns. I still make wrong steps. I still slip. And sometimes I still fall and He reaches down and picks me back up. But what He's saying there in making my way perfect is each experience, if we're focused on Him and our love for Him, our trust for Him, our dependence upon Him, each experience makes us a little stronger than we were before. When we go into a trial, we come out of it stronger than we went into it if we're trusting God. If I'm trusting myself, I'm going to fall again. I'm going to get hurt again. I'm going to mess up again. I'm going to sin again. But God girds me with strength, and He gives me the ability to take that step. To take that step, trusting Him, depending upon Him. And He helps me to grow. Again, the word perfect means to be mature. And here, verse 33, I now come to my text. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. I watched a documentary on the Grand Canyon this past week. And this particular documentary was two men that decided they were going to hike from one end to the other of the Grand Canyon, which is 360 some miles, I think, if you could go the river route. But you can't hike the river route. It's my understanding. I've never been there, but from what I saw. So they would have to go along the river for a while. They would have to go up on top, walk a while. In other words, by the time they finished, they actually walked about 700 miles. And it took them about a year to do it in sections. One of the things that caught my eye and brought me to this text was they were walking on the side of the canyon. And of course, they were making every step as sure as they possibly could. But at one instance, one of them said to the other, "Watch where you're putting your foot." And about that time, the rock came out from under him. And he didn't fall, of course, but it made him realize, be careful where you put your feet. Well, about that time, they showed the other side of the canyon. And here were these mountain goats just running and skipping and jumping on the side of the canyon wall. Didn't have a care in the world. Then I saw another one after that, which showed again the mountain goats, and they were butting heads on the side of it and trying to push each other off the canyon wall. But I thought, wow, look at that. They're just going up the side of that mountain, and like there's nothing to it, side of that canyon. And I remember this verse. He makes my feet like hinds' feet or mountain goat feet. That I'm able to scale those walls. But what happens is, sometimes as you're going up the side of that mountain, it seems that there's places that God says, just stop. Just stop. And look around. See where you've come from, but don't dwell there. See where you've come from. Look where you're going. And just stop right now and just take it all in. And it's at those points, it seems to me, that we are more prone to wanting to step over here and get a closer look. Step over here and get a closer look. And the problem with that is, the more you step close to the edge, the more slippery it gets. You can't hold hands with the world and with God at the same time. It just doesn't work. You have to let go of one or the other. Jesus said you'll either love one and hate the other, or you'll love one and hate the other. You can't love them both at the same time. So if I want my feet to be as hinds' feet, If I want to be strong, if I want to get to the top, and that top's not heaven. That's already secured by the blood of Jesus. But it's the top where that you're just there and you realize I've overcome this obstacle. But it wasn't because of me. David said it, by you I've run through a troop. By you I've jumped over walls. By your strength, by your help. It is not by my own strength. It's not because that I have understanding and perfect ability and perfect strength and all of those things. It's purely and simply because God has taken me by the hand and brought me each step of the way. Another song. Each step I take, I know my Savior guides me. Do we know that this morning? You don't have to get over there on the edge where that you'll slip off. You stay on the rock. He'll show you what you need to see, and He'll hide what you don't need to see. Because there's some things in life that we don't need to just dwell on them and think on them. We need to keep our eyes focused. In other words, as Paul said in Colossians, seek those things above where Christ sits. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things above, not things of the earth. We're constantly looking up. If we even let it dwell in our minds, and we're human, those thoughts come in. I'm trying to bring it to an end, I promise you. But as if we're human and we let those thoughts come into our mind, at that point, you've got to push them out. You've got to push them out. You cannot let them stay there. How can I push them out? Well, if nothing else, just start saying, Jesus loves me. You can't sing Jesus loves me and think about the world at the same time. He gives us a means of escape in every situation and circumstance that we go through. That we don't have to dwell on that which is negative. We dwell on that which is positive, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. It is God that girdeth me with strength. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. He sets me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war. Thou hast also given me, I'm skipping down the verses, you give me the shield of thy salvation. You give me your right hand to hold me up. Your gentleness hath made me great. Oh, but no, I got to be strong. No, you don't. Christ is strong. We have to be meek and in Him. And meek isn't weak either. But we have to show our strength is in Christ. It's in Him. It's in Him. His gentleness hath made me great. If it wasn't for Christ's gentleness, I'd have so many knots jerked in my back and my neck and other places that it wouldn't even be funny. My mama used to tell me she's going to jerk a knot. And I knew what that meant too. Sometimes God says, I'll jerk a knot if you don't follow me. He says, I've run through the troops. Listen, it's no mistake and it's no accident that we are where we are right now. God has brought us this far. He's brought us this far. And if He's brought me this far, why would I even think about trusting myself or the world or anything else than trusting the One who's brought me to this place? He says to us, I'm going to read this. It's my thoughts. I wrote them down, but I'm afraid I won't be able to say it. So I'm going to read it. Forgive me for my one. He takes us by the hand and He says, come with me. We may walk some hard paths. We may weather some storms. We may think we're going to sink. We're going to climb some rough mountains. But come with me, says the Lord. I'll show you my grace. I'll show you my strength. And along the way, you're going to see some incredible sights. Do we trust Him this morning? Do we love Him? Peter says that the Lord has left us this example that we should follow in His steps. David comes to verse 46. There's some beautiful thoughts throughout, but verse 46. The Lord liveth. He's not just some thought of the imagination. He's not just some fable. Not just something that has been made up through the centuries of time. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. He is my salvation. He is my strength. He's my everything. I love Him. I love Him. I trust Him. And even though I trust Him, I still make some wrong decisions. And in those wrong decisions, I'm going to call out to Him. And He says, I'll deliver you. He stays the same. This morning, as we think about the Lord, we think about His grace. We think about His strength. We think about the perfect path that He has laid down for us. And I do believe that every one of us have a path that God has laid down for us. I've strayed from that path more than once. But as I come back, I realize this is the way. This is the way that this perfect peace. This is the way of joy. This is the way of contentment. This is the way that I don't have to have regrets. This is the way that I can lay down at night and say, thank you, Lord, for a blessed day. I'm going to love Him. I pray that every one of us, as we leave today, I'm not questioning your love for the Lord. I'm just saying that every one of us, as we leave today, that once again, we make a, if not verbal, a heartfelt renewal of our love, our trust, our determination, our commitment unto the Lord. I don't think God's through with any of us yet, do you? I think He still has a purpose. And He's working it. He's going to bring it together for His honor. I could just go on and on, but I pray that God will bless us to hold these truths in our hearts and express them. Express them daily. Tell them to whoever's around you. It didn't hurt to tell somebody else, I love Jesus. Oh, I know you're not supposed to do that now, but you know what? God says it's okay. And if God says it's okay, it's okay. Tell whoever, I love Jesus. And I'm thankful. Let's stand and sing this morning. If you have been shown the love that God has for you, and you wish to express it by committing yourself into His church, we give you the opportunity here at Grace to come and let your desires be made known in the church